Welcome back, everybody. It's time once again to talk to the real world of sales, the real people really doing the most amazing things all around us and how they sell themselves to the world. From the woman who's been selling her whole life, our sales coach, Ashley V. Welcome, Ashley.
Thanks, Paul. Hey, everybody. It's Ashley. Awesome to be here. We have a really great guest today, and we're going to get down to business. So we have Patricia Ray. She's an actress. She's an activist. She's an entrepreneur. She does everything. Patricia, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashley. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you to OC Real Radio, the real world of radio talk. Is that what it is?
Well, yeah. We'll let that slide. Like OC that. Talk Radio with the real world of sales.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So, Patricia, why don't you kick us off telling us where you grew up, where you're from, and how you got started in your career?
I am originally from New York. I'm from first generation from Colombian parents. They immigrated to the United States, and I was raised in Queens, New York.
All right.
And I just always knew I wanted to be an actress, so I just always followed that path.
Was it something like you had a talent for, or you did it as a hobby, or like how did you figure it out? Did your parents push you to do acting?
Never. My mom was very busy working, waitressing, working at Swing Line, making watches, and they didn't speak English. So I learned English on television, like watching Sesame Street and The Electric Company, The Carol mm-hmm. Burnett Show, I Love Lucy. So my whole world was immersed in television. So I just, I wanted to do that. I wanted to be funny. And I was very, like, humorous, clownish kind of child, As soon as I realized I could make people laugh, that's what I wanted to do.
All right. I see. Yeah, that's amazing, that you're inspired by watching TV and then you had to learn English from TV. Like, that's really cool. So then how did you, did you go to school? Like, did you, do any acting classes or anything?
I went to, elementary school in New York. And as soon as I could join a theater company, that's what I did. And so I just kind of progressed through every grade because I moved a lot when I was a young girl. My mother liked to stay in one place, and she got married like 3 times while I was growing up. I felt like I had to be a chameleon. So theater was a great place for me to kind of fit in with people who didn't feel like they fit in either, So it was just a playground and a place where I felt safe being myself and being other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. I think that's how it's kind of like imaginary. When you're doing acting, you get to play somebody else's life. So I think I can see that for sure. And, it's really like having a business when you're acting. Like, how did you end up getting gigs and getting shows and parts?
It is exactly like having a business, because the show part is the talent and the acting. But the business part of show business is you have to have, you have to train, number one, so that you can have natural talent, but you can't command it if you don't have technique, right? So that's why it's very instrumental to take classes, especially for film and television. Once you start doing that, you really have to understand the medium so that you're not too big, so you understand how to stand in your spot, so you're always lit. So that takes training, it takes technique. Then you have to have pictures done, then you have to have a resume built up, and you have to start training also, like just doing, being part of a community, going out there and doing theater, meeting other actors. That's how you find your like first agent, usually through recommendation.
Okay, so yeah, I see. That's really good. I think that's it makes a lot of sense. Like, I think that's really good advice, and it's really entrepreneurial. And you have to sell yourself. So how did you do that? Like, is there anything specific that you would do to promote yourself? Like, I don't know, did you have to dress a certain way, or color your hair or anything like that?
My hair is pretty long right now. It depends on what, you know, demographic you're going for. Like, the demographic I'm in, my hair should be like shoulder length. And once you start to get older and you want to kind of cover your gray hair, you start to lighten it a little bit.
Yeah, I think we all do.
Yeah, right? Because the camera reads your hair very dark. So you have to kind of have highlights in it. So those little things that you learn, you know, once you start working. Also, I recommend young actors to get on set doing extra work just so they can watch people work and start learning about the business, ask questions, listen, pay attention, promoting yourself. The easiest way to promote yourself is to take a class.
Okay.
Like with a casting director or a, you know, someone in the industry, and do theater, because, you know, you don't have
That's
to
interesting.
Be,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't have to be in the union to do theater unless you're doing an equity production, but you can do theater. And a lot of times agents and managers go to theater to find fresh faces.
So like Broadway. Broadway shows?
Broadway is not as easy to get into. Like, you really have to.
Okay, so are there other theaters,
like
plays?
Yeah, Broadway and in New York, off Broadway, and just like theater companies that are taking in members and becoming a part of a community.
Okay. Yeah, I see. Those are great tips, definitely. And I mean, there's definitely a lot of sales you have to do there. And what are some of the movies, shows, and plays that you've been in?
In New York, I was a part of the INTAR Lab, which did a lot of original plays. I'm not supposed to tell you any of the theatrical stuff that I've worked on because of the strike.
Okay, yeah, we're going to get into that. That's a whole different ballgame,
so,
right?
But I've done lots of television. I've been in films with very well-known, established actors, and it just took, you know, it's a learning process, and you just have to kind of put the time into it. You know, this took me 30 years. I was already an actress in New York. I came out here 21 years ago, and I'm still hustling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I like that hustling. Yeah, for sure. I mean, is it easier out here than in New York? Because there's a lot happening out there.
There is a lot more work here. In terms of television and TV shows, the thing that I find difficult is that out here, when they're casting Latino specifically, a lot of the roles are written for Mexican, which is great because we've from being here for 20 years, you have your Mexican, you know, dialect in your pocket. But a lot of times these casting directors don't want to cast you if you're from South America because they want to cast Mexican people playing Mexican. So
what's the difference then? I mean, if you speak Spanish, so what does it really matter?
I don't know. They get very specific about that. And like Colombian people, they let Mexican actors play Colombian. Like if you watch Narcos, some of the leads in that show were Colombian. I mean, weren't Colombian, they were Mexican. But when I wanted to audition for this other show that was about Mexicans and it was shot in Texas near the border, they were very specific about the actors having to be Mexican, except for the leads, who actually were Colombian.
That's so interesting. Is it maybe like, is it like because of the way, you know, you look, your features? Or
I think so. I think that I don't have the traditional Mexican, more of the round face and the kind of the more of the brown skin. My skin is very
kind of lighter. You look like kind of Italian or mixed or something.
Exactly. So I don't scream Mexican. So I get cast more as South American or Puerto Rican, you know, more East Coast Latina than really West Coast Latina. So there is a difference, you would think. So I just, you know what I ended up doing is I just play myself. You can only sell yourself, right?
Right.
If you want a sarcastic, kind of strong
Colombian New Yorker, right?
That's who I bring.
Nice. Yeah, you know, that sounds good. I like that. You have to be yourself because I think, you know, there's so much you can do acting and selling yourself, which is like an act. But that sounds good. I mean, and then you also do a lot of activism now, and that's kind of like similar to your job in your, what you were saying just now about competing, right?
Absolutely. Like, one of the things that I'm very passionate about is representation in television, in film, in commercials. Latinos mm-hmm. make up half of the population, especially in California. We're not being represented. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I'm out there not just representing actors and the actor strike, but also, you know, the underrepresented, the marginalized. And we need to be seen in roles that give our children a hope and a glimpse of the future, that they could be doctors and lawyers, that they can go to school, they can better their lives. So you mean, need to keep pushing for that.
Right. Yeah, no, I see. So you mean like roles that are just generic in those TV shows and movies where your background doesn't matter, really?
Exactly. Or okay. She can be a Latina doctor. She could be a Latina lawyer. She could be, you know, a tax attorney or whatever. Traditionally, Latinos are not considered leads. They're not written into the scripts as leads. We're always like the second fiddle or a supporting character. You know, when I was coming up, I played maids and prostitutes, drug addicts. My children were always like yeah. victims. Mm-hmm. We need to get away from that and start portraying Latinos mm-hmm. in the U.S. as, you know, people that have educations, people that yeah. are mm-hmm. bettering themselves.
So why do you think that they did that in the movies in the first place? Like, is it because of the audience who's watching, or is it just who's running the movies and shows?
Exactly. I think a lot of the times, a lot of these shows were written by white males, because that's just those are the people that get encouraged to write and go to film schools. We're not taught to be creative. You know, you don't, if you see a big Latino family, you don't hear the parents going, you know, if you want to write, go to school, you know, go to film school, do, you know, study. They tell you, yeah. you know, go get a real job and, you know, mm-hmm. go work, go do, you know, manual labor, go. And so my motto has always been work less with your body and more with your mind, you know?
Yeah, that's
work
good.
Smarter, not harder. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think all these, like, you know, hard labor jobs are going to actually wear you down at some point. And so you've been out on the streets actually picketing, holding signs, and striking with everybody.
Absolutely. Since mm-hmm. the big day one, we've been out there for 75 days.
Wow.
We mm-hmm. went back to the negotiating table with the CEOs of the AMPTP. So the head of all the studios were actually at the table this time, bargaining with our bargaining committee, and Fran Drescher, our
yeah, she's cool.
of SAG-AFTRA. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a really cool lady.
I saw her on TV, you know, she was like y'all yelling and screaming because of everything happening. So why don't you tell us a bit about how it's been, like their salary problems that you guys are trying to fight for, and AI, yes. and you said inclusivity.
As actors, we haven't gotten a raise in like over 6 years. And biggest problem mm-hmm. is our residuals, which is if they repeat a show on network television, you used to yeah. get almost mm-hmm. your full salary. And then every time they play it, you got a sliding scale of the original amount.
Okay.
Now, because all of these networks have a streaming platform, they put the repeat on the streaming platform and you get paid pennies on the dollar. So now we can't even afford to uh-huh. pay for our health insurance. We can't afford to pay for our SAG dues. We can't afford to live. You know, we don't even have working yeah. wages wow. right now. So that's number mm-hmm. one.
So it's because of like Netflix and like Hulu and all of these streaming platforms.
Yes, Netflix, Hulu, Paramount Plus, Amazon Prime, mm-hmm. all of those platforms. They say they don't know how to monetize streaming, but they know how many viewers are watching it. Every time yeah. you see, if you go on the Netflix splash page, you see number one show, 1 through 10, number right. two, number three.
I've seen it. I watch Netflix.
How do they know that?
Yeah.
Because they know how many viewers they have. So they can monetize it. They just don't want, they didn't want to give us a transparency of knowing
mm-hmm.
really how many times a show is being streamed, because then they would have to, you know, pony up. And now they're going to have to pony up because we're saying yeah. we can't afford to live. We can't even, we're not talking about the 2% that are famous, like the Tom Cruises and, you know, the, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, George Clooney and
exactly.
Julia Roberts. Yeah.
We're talking about the working actor, the one that you go, oh, I saw her mm-hmm. on this other TV show, but you don't know her name. You know?
Yeah, right.
We're familiar mm-hmm. faces. We're yeah. just not household names. So,
and that's funny because everybody thinks you guys are so rich if you're acting, you know, but
no.
they don't know how it really is. Like, it's a struggle like every other
just
person,
like every
working.
Other industry. We're the middle yeah. class, you know. There are doctors and lawyers that take mm-hmm. they get, you know, $1,000 an hour, or they get $100 an hour,
right.
you know. There's different tiers in every job. They're trying to basically squash the middle class actor. So that's what really we're fighting for.
Yeah.
The other thing
makes
is
sense.
That this strike has gotten so much worldwide attention that it is perpetuating and motivating other union workers to go out in there and strike for their rights and for their fair equity. The steel workers
yeah,
joined us
I've
last
seen this.
Friday at Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. The migrant
okay.
workers, the hotel work union workers,
auto
so it's, mm-hmm. yep auto it's all about being a united front, because the disparity at this point between the top 2% and the rest of the middle class is getting, the gap's getting so big. We're gonna have two
yeah.
classes in America,
mm-hmm.
the filthy rich and poor.
It's already like that, kind I mean pretty much. And inflation
yeah.
isn't helping. It's making it worse.
No, absolutely. And even with inflation, and they haven't raised our rates, that's what we're saying, is like everything costs more, but you haven't given us a raise in like 10 years. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. But
yeah.
somebody's getting rich.
Right. I saw the salaries for these CEOs of all of these production companies. They make like $200 million a year. $500 million a year. It's
mm-hmm.
And what's like the average salary for your average actor, actress?
I can tell you that on a really good year, me as a middle class actor, I can, if I'm very, very lucky, I'm talking like I was just on a series for 3 years. I was a recurring top of show guest star. So I got
mm-hmm.
paid the most you could get paid
okay.
as a guest star actor, besides the series regulars. And I was lucky if I was clearing $100,000 a year. And that's with
wow.
doing 6-7 mm-hmm. episodes a year. That's a lot. Most actors never mm-hmm. work that much in their whole lives.
How long does it take for each episode?
To
make them
to shoot?
Yeah.
A week.
Okay.
So it's yeah, so you're getting paid for a week's worth of work if you're booked for the whole week. Sometimes they only book you for one day.
Yeah, and so, and that's for
less.
Reoccurring, right? So if you worked maybe one episode or something, you would make like $1,000 or something.
Exactly. For one day's work, you make like $1,100. Now take
yeah.
40% out of that for mm-hmm. the government. 20%
right.
for your agent and manager. So out of $1,000, you'll clear like $350 at the end of the day. What can you do with
mm-hmm.
$350 when gas is $7 a gallon over here in California?
Yeah,
eggs are
$6. Sure.
Milk
mm-hmm.
is $6. You can't even
right.
a one-bedroom apartment, I'm talking 800 square feet in California, cost $3,000.
Yeah, I saw online recently. It's crazy. Oh my gosh. I mean, that's why a lot of people are moving, or, you know, they're going crazy nowadays and angry or living with family. It's insane.
Yeah, a lot of people are leaving the state. We have the highest.
But you can't because of your field, too. You can't really move to the South or Midwest.
Well, I would have to move to the South. They do a lot of filming in North Carolina, Georgia, Louisiana, Canada, New York, New Jersey because of the tax breaks. So I would have to live somewhere on the East Coast where I could commute, because a lot of the most of the casting right now is being done self-tapes, which you submit online. So basically, you could, I could book a job that's shot in Georgia, but if I'm saying I'm a local hire, because I live on the East Coast, I would have to get myself there. Because gone are the days where they would cast you out of LA to play something in North Carolina and fly you there. That doesn't happen that much anymore.
Okay. And then you have AI too that's happening. So they could use your face or a show. Right.
What they wanted to do is scan the likeness of a background actor, pay him for the day. I think the day rate's like $130, right? And use it in perpetuity wherever they want for as long as they want. Can you imagine that? So, like,
that stuff is so creepy, too. AI stuff.
Say they want to do like a scene where. Like a movie like Gladiator, where they have thousands of people in the stands, right?
Like Avatar, they did use it for that.
Exactly. All of those are AI-generated people. And now what they want to do is take famous people, like Robin Williams' daughter was just talking about this online, saying that producers are taking her father's likeness and his voice and using it to sell their products, and she's getting no compensation for it.
Yeah, that's messed up for sure. And that's what I think, it's like all the workers, all the businesses now are like having to deal with this technology advancing and like ruining things and making trouble. That's sad for sure. Yeah, that's really bad.
AI is not going away, but we have to set boundaries. And we have to learn how to work with it so that it enhances our work and doesn't replace our work.
I see. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you have to get some compensation from it. And so, and what are you doing for your part? Like, are you in the negotiations and stuff right now?
No, I'm not on the SAG committee or anything like that. I'm like a ground, boots on the ground kind of person.
So you're yelling at them on the street.
Yes.
Nice.
I pick it. I'm a motivated picker. I'm a rallier. I march. I have a big mouth. I like to go out there and motivate people.
That's good.
So I always tell people, anybody can be an activist if you're passionate about something and you want to fight for, you know, a quality of life. And everybody's activism looks different. If you're good with people and you're good with writing, you know, writing to letters and write to congressmen, you know, try and change legislation. If you're good with social media, put it on, you know, be active on social media. So I encourage people to go out there and fight for the things that you believe in, because literally we're going to be just one small poor middle class while the rest of the United States and the world starts accumulating wealth. You know, and that's
for sure.
Not okay with me.
me too. And a lot of people, it sucks. It's really terrible. It's getting worse day by day. And you talk about a lot of these in your podcast too.
I do. My podcast, these issues. Believe This, it's on Spotify and iTunes and Google Play and iHeartRadio.
Awesome.
The podcast is my partner and I, Chris Krim. We talk about social issues from our different perspectives, and we don't always agree, because I feel like in America, if you don't follow the status quo, if you don't, you know, jump on the bandwagon of saying what everybody's saying or believing, not questioning anybody, everything has an agenda. If you follow the agenda, you can start making choices for yourself and making your own decisions. And that's all I wanted. I wanted a platform where I had a safe space to question things, social issues, hot topics. And we do. We go to toe every week on the show, and we you know, we don't always agree, especially because he lives in Florida and he's super liberal and I live in California and I'm a little bit more moderate, you know.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought you guys would be reversed then.
I know it is. And it makes for a really good, we have a good rapport and it makes for a really good listening podcast because it's very, very animated.
Yeah, I've listened to some of your guys' episodes. It was really good.
Oh, which one did you listen to?
There was a few, like obviously the one about SAG and then one about like religion and there was another one, it was, I don't know, like one of the first ones where you guys were introducing your podcast. But yeah, really good topics, a lot of good topics, like, you know, what's happening recently in the news and stuff. And I think you guys had good views and good advice. So I think, yeah, definitely everybody needs to tune in. And they can follow you on social media, right, Patricia?
Yes, Ashley, thank you so much. We're on Twitter at BelieveThis23. And on Instagram at the Believe This Podcast. And if you guys are interested in emailing us, we're at BT4U, the number four, BT4UPod@gmail.com. And follow me on The Patricia Ray and also on Twitter at The Patricia Ray and Chris Krim, C-R-I-M.
And Patricia, how do you spell Ray?
R-A-E. When I was a young girl, I wanted to be more marketable, talking about trying to sell yourself and sell your goods as an actor. I Americanized my name because my last name was actually Loza, L-O-Z-A. And when I would go into castings, casting directors would actually say Patricia Lopez.
Oh, my gosh. Like, okay.
Can you not read? There's no P in there. There's no P, there's no E, it's L-O-Z-A, and it just drove me crazy. And the other thing was, I was like, why do I need to, I'm American, I'm first generation American, I wanted to be able to play anybody, you know, I didn't want to be typecast. So I changed my name many years ago to Patricia Ray.
So Ray is the name you made?
Yeah, it's I like Norma Ray and Faye Ray, so I dropped the Y and I just kept the R-A-E.
Okay,
Jewish spelling. I grew up with a lot of Jewish people, so.
I see. Okay, that's really good. That's definitely important for branding and marketing, your name, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. But if you can't remember somebody's name, how are you going to find their product?
Right, exactly. That's so true. Well, Patricia, you know, you had awesome advice. You know, everybody go to her Instagram, her Twitter, listen to her podcast, and make sure that you tune in because there's a lot happening with SAG, with TV shows. We want to watch our TV shows. We want to see everybody compensated.
Thank you, Ashley. Thank you so much. And you guys are welcome to join us on the picket line. We're still fighting. We're still out there. And, you know, if other unions need help and they need, you know, voices and community, reach out because we'll come out. I'll come pick it for you with you.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. That's great. Thank you so much, Patricia, for being on the show today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
And how do we plug your book, Ashley?
My book, everybody, is called Ferocious Sell Skills. It's red. There's a wolf on it. It's on Amazon, iTunes, and Barnes & Noble websites. So you can go ahead, listen to it, buy it, and read it. It's really helpful.
And how did they find the real Ashley B?
Me? Well, you guys can see me on Instagram, and you can look up The Real World of Sales Show, and then you guys can message me there.
Okay. Thanks so much for coming on, guys. Well, there you have it. One more reason to tune in each and every time to The Real World of Sales right here on your only real community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.